if we've got Doc on the Dickie connection and all that, then let's get as much in as we can. Hello, welcome to the Mac Show. Yes, we're here to discuss all of the big stuff in Mac, all the big stories that have gone on for Apple, and we've got a full house. Considering I thought I might be here on my own this afternoon, it's gone the other way. Joining me, top panel. Look at that, five of them showed up. I wouldn't mind, but three of them said they weren't coming. Starting us off.
Surprise.
Happy Thanksgiving. Doc Rock, just about to take a slug. Sorry, man.
It's all good.
How you doing, bro?
Good, good. Got my internet kind of sort of working, I hope. I hope it was just a minor blip.
How the hell does the rain take you out, man? Because we just...
No, they're probably doing a software update because it is still 5 o'clock in the morning here, and they figure everyone on the island is asleep except for people dumb enough to be talking to Bridge this time of day.
Now, that lazy Patrice, bastard Patrice, is fast asleep next door and hasn't come, hasn't he?
I kind of want to call him and wake him up, but then I might wake up Jerome's baby.
Oh, no, that'd be bad. That won't go well for you. But
no.
Can you send him a text?
But yeah, I told him to walk down to the studio.
Do not disturb on or something, then.
Oh, you know he does. You know those nerds, they put on the do not disturb at night.
I do, too. I'm not a nerd.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah, I'm not a nerd.
We're doing a podcast at 5 o'clock in the morning about British Tech Network, or in your case, 5 o'clock in the evening on a Wednesday. You're a nerd.
Yeah, I couldn't do Thursday, so I thought, Friday rather, so I thought let's move it to Wednesday and we'll do both shows today. But we're not doing the big show today, so, because we haven't got enough numbers. It's only me and Green.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Oh, me and
Greg. Yeah, is that enough?
Well, actually, it might be. That's a good point. That's a really good point. Next to him, it's Jeff, who wasn't going to be here, but now he's.
Yeah, well, surprise. I like it when stuff works out like this.
Yeah, no, it's cool. It's great. I mean, it's been fun. It doesn't help the length of the show much, but fantastic.
Yeah, well, no, I totally get it.
Great, mate. Great to have you. Next to him, Steve Sandy.
Hello, how's it going?
It's grand, brother. It's grand.
Coming in from the iPad Pro here. So,
Is this you bending over for the Apple ethos of your iPad can be your next computer thing?
Oh, that's, you're damn right. Yes, absolutely. The funny thing is that I think I figured out that the little power supply that they supply with this thing doesn't have enough juice to really power the USB-C dongle that I have, that I've got hooked up to everything here. So I'm watching my power just slowly going down. Hopefully we'll make it through the show.
Jeff said he got a hard out in an hour and a half. You've got a hardware out in an hour and a half. next to him, Brett, the yoga man Terpstra.
Hey.
Dude, I love the new avatar on, or the new icon on you've got on for Twitter.
Thank you. My flying lizard.
Your flying lizard, mate. He's pretty impressive.
It's actually easier to do than Crow if you can do a flying pigeon. You know what I mean?
Yeah. you've got to be fast to do a flying pigeon. But...
or you just have to hold them really tight.
Yeah, exactly. If we're in the pre-show, you'll know that the references that we were giving to a lot of other things means that that's got a whole double meaning to it.
The double entendre show.
Yeah, great having you, brother. And next to him, Dr. William Green from Shropshire. How the devil are you, mate?
I'm very well. No, I'm a little bit upset.
Oh, go on.
Now accidents happen, and that's fair. My little lad likes to play with my MacBook Pro, and that's fine, that's cool. But he left it on the edge of the settee, it fell off, and the screen has cracked. They want £600 to replace it.
Oh, bugger.
I know, which it's The money, you know, will one day come. It will one day come. But it's like now I have to look at this screen with all these lines on it and sort of weird colors and things like that. And it's difficult to find the Apple symbol. So if anybody out there has got like a knackered MacBook Pro with a 15-inch screen and they want to sell the screen part or the whole thing, let me know. Be good. Be cool.
Excellent. Yeah, a cry to Greeny. Have you tried going to, because I know he's in the chat room, Darren Griffin.
No, I haven't. No.
Darren Griffin is an extremely brilliant repairer of Mac equipment, and I'm sure he might be able to purloin something for you.
Oh, that'd be awesome, yeah. And, that's it's a...
Make you an offer.
Mid-2012 MacBook Pro Retina. 15-inch.
There we go. Challenge for you, Darren. Mac Fixer. Darren is the Mac Fixer. He's down in Farnborough in Hampshire. And if you've got any issues with your computers, call Darren.
I will.
I've used him, and he's great. And so is GB Redneck. And he said he was great. So there you go.
Awesome.
The Week in Apple, all the stuff that's gone on then.
I rank in.
Oh, what have I done now?
Where am I? I'm not on your screen thing.
You bloody are.
No, I'm not.
Oh, hang on. Oh, hang on, hang on, hang on. So you should be, but... There you go.
Am I there now?
Oh, that's kind of interesting, because it seems to have a memory for the last shot. Face. No, it looks like Stream Deck has a memory for the last shot, even though I've changed it on the previous one, so I can swap between the two. That's quite interesting. Thanks for that, Will. I've sorted it now. We'll start off with something light and easy. CarPlay available in select 2014 and newer Mazda vehicles as a $199 installed upgrade. I thought this was an interesting story in the fact that I would gladly pay 200 quid to have CarPlay installed in my car as an upgrade. And I can't think that there's anyone who's got an iPhone who isn't of the same mind.
No, you know, and funny enough, recently, I want to call it Pioneer, put out like a $250 CarPlay deck. It was either Pioneer or Kenwood. So even if you don't have a Mazda, for a little bit more, you can get a head unit, a CarPlay head unit replace that, you know, it used to be $400 to $600, but recently a nice cheapy one came out and it's from a quality brand. It's not, you know, one of these weird knockoff Amazon type things. So check the Crutchfields if you're in the US or the Tesco if you're over there and see if you can find it.
Is this something that fits into like a standard car stereo slot from the 90s?
Yeah. So most cars from about 2004 can wreck a double din.
They can what?
If you wreck a double din. A double din is like what you see in the picture. In the picture you showed a double din, right? A din is the height of a car stereo, right? So a double din is the... You know, that big version. That's a double din.
That's like so the thing in the picture is like a screen.
Yeah, it's built into the dash of the car. But I'm saying that size is relative to almost all cars. It's funny. You pick almost any car brand. So inside my BMW, the screen is exactly that same size. In a expensive Mercedes, that screen is the same size. Because the double din standard is not much different than, you know, us putting in a 5.5-inch, you know, drive back in the day.
Okay. All right, that's great. So mine's set into the dash, but it's still probably the same screen. Is that what you're saying?
I can tell you in 2 seconds if your car fits a double din. What's the make and model?
I'm a Toyota Verso.
What year?
2012.
Yes, absolutely a fit because I have a 2012 Toyota Tacoma pickup truck, and all Toyota dashes use the same radios across the parallel. So I'm pretty positive you can fit a double din deck.
So what do I do with my Audi A3? It has no faceplate on the stereo. There's a screen that pops up from the dash when you start the car, and then all of the controls are down on the console. I can't even add GPS to it, after factory.
Yeah, so out the A3 is, Audi was a little weird, but I think there's a Pioneer version. It's about yo big. The price is roughly around $299. And what happens is it looks like a standard deck. When you turn it on, the deck goes.
Oh, so it comes out.
Then you turn it off, it goes.
But that's only if you've got a standard 1990 slot for it for a cassette player.
Yeah.
Right, yeah, so... Which I haven't got, so I've got the standard set in the dash kind of thing. So,
yeah. So those dash panels, they're never really hard. They really pop right off. You know what I mean? And then that dash panel can change, because if you look at my dash, you would never think it's going to work because mine looks slightly rounded. But there is a model dashboard that has a square inset into the round so that you can fit the dent in.
So why would we buy one when we can go to your place, break into your car, and take it out?
That's a good idea.
I have something known as a Gen 5 Glock 17.
Oh, yeah.
It won't be good for you.
I'm not a random dude,
in the U.S. that has guns. I've actually been trained to use that bad boy.
You've got to give Steve logic for his thinking there. I mean, kudos for that logical thinking. It's just like, I'm going to spend $5,000 on airfares to go round to Doc's place, which I don't know the address of, break into a secure garage and nick a $300 stereo.
And get shot.
Sounds great to me.
No, the whole car, surely. Just pinching the stereo, is it?
Hey, I think your Toyota Versa is basically a Camry here.
Yeah, okay. Right?
It's the same as a Camry, right?
So Steve and I would fit in seamlessly as well. They'd never know. Nobody'd ever know. Unusual characters walking into your crib. There's this English chap keeps telling me to, hello, old chap. I'm here to pinch your car.
I say, is this Doc's crib?
That would be so hilarious.
they'd never know at all.
The funniest thing is, whenever you talk to the police, you should have the most insane posh lingo possible to just throw the police off.
Is that all it takes?
I don't think
because they would know. They would have no clue what you're talking about.
They then look at you and go, "Cor blimey, Gov, where's your bowler at then?" if you're English, where's your bowler at then?
Yeah.
Cor blimey, Mary Poppins. Do you see he's got no bowler at?
Well, Julian, that's quite impressive. That's extremely Birmingham of you.
That wasn't a Birmingham accent, mate. Definitely not.
I know it wasn't. It was definitely not. I forgot what the posh people are called. Don't tease Manchester, by the way. What's your name, Brett? Do you have concert radio or navigation system?
I don't know. I don't understand the question.
It says on an Audi A3, it says select your option with concert radio or with navigation system.
I have Sirius.
That's not
helpful. And it says it has navigation, but when you flip the navigation button, it says navigation not installed. And when I bought the car, I thought, I'll just install that in post. But it turns out if you don't get it as a factory option, there's no option to upgrade it.
Oh, man.
And you have the hatchback, right?
No.
Oh, I thought you had a hatchback.
That would be fun, but no. It's a regular sedan.
So,
what year?
Whilst that's been most educational.
I don't remember, 2016, I think.
So what we're saying here, Doc, is you've got some homework, because none of us understood a word of what you said because we're not technically minded enough. Please, could you send me the link to buy the thing I need for my car? And please, could you send Brett the link for the thing for his car? And we've just asserted
that... No, let's hash this out right now. What are you trying to do?
Dude, I sent it to you, Ewan. Look at your text message.
Said the dude who said I get bored after an hour. Just Brett's just turned this into a hugely technical podcast of 3 hours in length by badgering Doc.
But this is the stuff I find interesting.
Oh, okay.
This is how you keep my attention.
Okay. Well, the good news is you and you're okay. I sent you a link. Even though you can't buy it from Crutchfields, you can pair the models to what you can buy there.
Yeah.
And Brett, according to Crutchfields, you are SOL. There are zero car stereos, zero in-dash receivers, zero GPS navigation, zero custom fits, and zero digital media video receivers. Nothing you can buy fit in the 2016 A3 sedan with a Bang & Olufsen audio system.
Yeah, it's okay. I'm good. I got a phone mount right in the middle of it.
And that was your pick 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it was. Doc, that's not my car.
You said Camry?
No, you said Camry, and I said, yeah, it might be.
But. Oh, well, anyway, most Toyotas use the same stereo stuff because Toyota's smart like that. They have five chassis for every car they make in the whole planet, and they have about three or four dashboards because they're pretty much fit back and forth.
Guys, I'll just send you a picture of my car. There we go.
All right.
As long as it's not geo-locked.
It's not the green station wagon.
No, that was last week, dude. Move on. For those of you that are watching live going, what do you mean last week? I haven't posted last week's shows yet, so I'm going to have to do that afterwards. So.
Well, now people have something to look forward to.
Absolutely. Apple in talks to offer the VA electronic medical records on their iPhone. Apparently, this is a service that already exists for participating hospitals and medical groups, but now they're offering it to the VA. So... that's not the Victoria and Albert, by the way. That's the Veterans Association, isn't it? Hospitals.
Yeah, administration.
Yeah. Why do you want your medical records on your phone? Am I missing something for the obvious for America? Because you have to show it or something when you go for medical treatment. I don't have to do that in the UK.
You do. It's a VA thing. All right. I worked in a VA hospital. That was my job in the Army. I was a paramedic and so therefore stuck in a VA hospital. Normally, the reason why we would want our medical records in a VA situation is we're not necessarily at the same hospital for quite a long time, right? So if you're in a temporary duty cycle, I'm going to be in use of that hospital for about 3 to 4 months, and then you bounce off to the next place and to the next place and the next place. So your records need to stay with you at all times, especially if you're a person that has, you know, allergies to penicillin or bee stings or some of the things like that. So in a VA situation, it makes sense.
Okay.
For a lot of the medical systems, at least here in Colorado, it makes sense too, because they're all disconnected from each other.
Right.
So if you're part of, what is it, the CU medical system, I think. Anyhow, one of the universities has a common repository for managing health records. So then you can hop from facility to facility and everything tracks you. But if you're not in that specific system, then you're starting from scratch everywhere you go. There's no unified system. The other part of this is that the data you're collecting yourself can then feed back into the system. So there's that too.
I actually have to get printouts and carry them to a new doctor if I go across the street for medical care.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you physically print them out.
They do, yeah. They give me a folder and I carry them over and then they type them in on the other side. That's the, and that's not even the VA. The VA is even worse record keeping overall from what I've heard, so.
Yep, the record keeping sucks balls.
Jesus, that's a mess.
We pay for that too.
Wow. For the nose. Go on, Will.
I was going to say, I don't like all this medical stuff that's coming in. It's like if you've got a smartwatch or an Apple Watch or something like that, if I wore one, I know that it would flag up with a skull and crossbones or a tombstone saying RIP, Will.
Willie's toxic.
You've got X amount of you've got so much time to live. I think sometimes we need to not know as much as we do, which seems to be the way tech is driving us to know as much about our body as it can. But not the important things. What do you think?
I think the body's kind of important because without that, the rest is shit.
Yeah, but I mean, your heart
your body stops working. Life itself is not important anymore, right?
It's not great. But what I'm trying to say is all this Fitbit and the Apple Watch and all of this concentration on blood pressure and stuff like that. For me, and I'm probably talking complete and utter bollocks, it's sort of meaningless, really, in just a way to sell a smart device that, you know, otherwise, if you consider it your health, you go to your doctor, and they'll test for everything, obviously, you know, cancer being the biggest killer. And does these sort of smart devices, portable smart devices that monitor your health, do they stop you going to the doctor because you're thinking, oh, bugger, I need to go to the doctor because I'm not feeling well or whatever? Oh, it's okay because my Apple Watch says I'm okay. Is it actually inhibiting to...
I think it's the other way around, too. It's probably created more hypocritical. It's not hypocrites. What's the word? Hypochondriacs.
Hypochondriacs. Well, maybe hypocrites, too.
Hypochondriacs.
Yeah, I think it's the other way around. I think it's created more people to go than less before, like Ewan said. But then also, that you can't blame that on tech. I mean, that happened for the longest time. Were you first able to, take certain medicines at home, or when the ability to communicate allowed home remedies to cross this and that? It's like, oh, you have an itch. Oh, it must be poison ivy. Nine times out of 10, it wasn't poison ivy. Most people didn't know what it was. Poison ivy was, stuck to a certain part of the country, but the telephone had people in one part of the country looking for poison ivy where it didn't exist.
Well, Google's done that as well, hasn't it? People research and Google actually looks for epidemiology and an epidemic through Google searches, and it can tell you where avian bird flu is now in the world because people are Googling for it. The other thing is, there's a chap named Ian who's a loose pal of mine, and he had a trip to the A&E unit on Monday because he woke up first thing in the morning with a pulse rate of 154 and the watch telling him he should go and get checked out. So, and he's fortunately he's okay, but he's got some recommendations to slow down a little bit, but other than that he's fine. But but that was all picked up on the watch. So
I had a poo this morning.
Great. Great.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, yeah.
It's good, isn't it? But I won't tell you what was in it because it was a bit scary. But I'm fairly sure it is. When you get to a man of a certain age, you have particular
you can get a kit from the doctor, right, where if you've got any concerns, they give you this thing and you have to just put three little dollops into three separate holes and then seal it, and then you can send it off and they'll tell you if there's anything wrong with it.
I think it's fine. I've had it before. It's a bit scary, isn't it?
Little animals that scream and yell at you.
We'd love to empathise, but you haven't told us what it is. So, I mean, I'm not sure you want to either, so it's okay. I get enough grief over this being a shit show to start with, so...
So now literally.
But I mean, I think probably we've all suffered from it. Piles. Let's put it out there. Piles.
There's nothing wrong with piles. God, no.
Yeah, I know. But you don't know when it happens, because it only happens sort of once every 3 months.
Yeah, you still think, cream.
Just put some magnesium sulfate in the bathtub, sit your ass in the tub, and game over. You're fine. AKA Epsom salts. I don't know what you guys call it in your country.
Yeah, Epsom salts. There you go.
Okay.
In Japan, when he says
go by magnesium sulfate.
No, Will, when he says game over, he doesn't mean you're going to die. How to get rid of piles? Kill yourself. Oh yeah, that works.
I think you've got a title for this show here,
mate. We've already got This Week in Dashboards and This Week in Shit, so
I just realized that Ewan's car was named after Kelly.
Oh, the Verso.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, that was a Gmail-y thing, wasn't it?
It's a Corolla in the United States, by the way.
Ah, right. Okay, thank you. Apple is reportedly cutting iPhone XS and XR production by as much as 2/3.
I stick my finger up my bum when I'm having a shower, just to make sure it's I've got a deep clean.
Why you've got piles, you moron. Just, it's why you got piles anyway. I don't think we need to know that. Thank you. Moving on. Luckily,
considering that they had very little shortage in the beginning, that could be a planned way they rolled out this time, so that they have enough in the beginning and then they can slow it down as it mellows out, which is what you should do. Nobody was stressing over shipping delays this go around.
Well, we've spent how long screaming at Apple saying, for Christ's sake, make more. And the last couple of products, they have. So you can't
really go, oh, Apple's doomed. And people are freaking out, saying, oh my God, Apple didn't sell out. Well, what do you want, people?
The Goldman Sachs report said that they felt that Apple had screwed up on the price point, especially for the 10R, that it was still too expensive and that it was causing sub-projection sales. I just saw this on Reuters last night. I don't know. I don't have an educated point of view on that.
Goldman can kiss my sacks. These guys, they just look for trouble, because if you can scare up enough trouble. Oh, you got to think about their portfolio level, right? They have mass amounts of stock. So moving the stock by $2 and, you know, doing the low high buy, sell, they can make metric crap tons of money by the stuff that they spew. It doesn't affect the actual consumer in the most case. But when guys with large holdings go around writing back and forth about what the company is doing, and then if you look at, the sales are public, right? You can look up what they're buying and selling. I guarantee you, if you compare their buying and sell practices against their scary stories, it will show that they're making money off of freakouts and then buy up and then freak out and then buy up. So I just ignore them at this point. It's become obnoxious.
Yeah, I mean, Apple's going nowhere. So the fact if it does cut production for whatever reason that is irrelevant to its long-term health.
We are talking about valuations being down across the major tech companies by $100 billion some right now.
Yeah, because of the stock slide in the last however many.
They're down about $200 billion just to Apple.
Yeah, but I think tech in general. I know I've bought less tech in the last year.
Well, it is across some descriptions. Amazon, Microsoft, Apple, even Uber. Like all of the kind of tech sector companies are flailing today, like as in the last few days, as the reports have come in, everything's looking a little grim, which is fine by me. I'm not a big fan of, things will go up and down for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, hyper-evaluation is a problem in this country, and it's starting to suss itself out. But that also tends to happen towards the end of the year for people doing end-of-the-year sales to make tax adjustments, you know, so what they have to pay or not pay. You know what I mean?
That's usually happen right before Black Friday. Sales projections are low.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't mean that physical sales. I mean stock sales. But, yeah, I agree with you. The whole sector itself. Facebook's news over the last couple of days isn't helping. It causes people to freak out on the tech sector as a whole.
But the sector's overvalued.
Exactly.
I mean, the idea of valuations of firms, if I was going to go and buy a firm down the street, I would look at their books and I would suggest that the firm is probably worth its last 3 years' turnover. Generally speaking. And you look at the valuations that you've got of some of the tech sector that has gone up in recent years, and it's exponential values over their turnovers. And those turnovers are against huge losses from venture capital as well as. So they're not even turning profit. And it's potential, but that potential is rarely realized.
We have been overvaluing companies for quite a long time.
Yeah,
and the thing is that it caused what's the word? Almost like a continuum. When the first guy got it, then the second people felt that their respect levels required them to have it, and then it just kept going, kept going, kept going. And we're basically where we were with the original bubble. But people have been saying that this modern tech bubble is going to pop for a little over a year and a half now, and it hasn't popped yet. But none of us will be surprised when it finally pops.
No. Apple debuts new Share Your Gifts holiday ad. I haven't watched the adverts yet. Totally. I've watched a bit of one of them, but the emphasis is most definitely on creative. They are following a massive marketing party line here, aren't they? Because Johnny Ive as well has popped up at Cambridge, and he's I'm eager to create and completely in awe about the creative process. So even Johnny's following the party company line on this. Exactly. It is a massive company line, isn't it? She's like, right, yeah. Fellas, we're pushing the creative. We're going for creatives. Wherever you go, whatever you say, make sure you use the word creative. Bonus for anyone who can get it in more than 154 times in a 30-minute conversation.
I you know what's really funny? I just watched a piece yesterday from Renee, and I watched it because his headline was sort of backing up what I said and what Steve said last week about the iPad Pro being able to be used as a professional device. And when he got down into it, he spoke of some of the things that I think a lot of people who hoo-ha and, you know, in the tech community who bitch about, you know, whether the device is pro or not, don't think about. And some of the things he talked about is not just your, you know, artists or your musicians people, or your storyboard type people, but he talked about people writing storyboards, people in architectural situations, people like we talked about the Becker Building Company here, who read gauges that are built into the bridges in San Francisco through an iPad. And to say that they're not pro when you drive across that freeway and not fall into the ocean every day is kind of a misnomer. So he says a lot of people compare the pro and or the creative to what they pro create, so to speak, mm-hmm. and don't realize the myriad of specialized industries out there that are large, large industries that use these iPads and the Apple things in this kind of creative fashion. So we've taken the pro to like photographer, video, musician, but there's way more pros out there. And something as neat as Ewan's glasses, which an optometrist couldn't have done before without the tools that Hoya has cut and wrist custom wrote for the iPad, is stealing away from the pro conversation, even though they are in fact pros. He can see because a pro came and did like this with an iPad, and now he looks like a large Harry Potter.
No, so that was the Avantex for a start, not the lustrous and gorgeous Unikas, which were actually
but you know what I mean.
A 3D scan of my face, which was massive tech. I totally agree. But I think the thing that you're missing is the fact that what's actually allowed us to do that is the ability to measure more than the ability of the iPad to read. So if you look at those measures that you've got on the bridges that you were talking about in San Francisco, and they can watch them on an iPad, the iPad power is irrelevant at that point, because they could probably watch them on something on Linux that were, or something that's running Windows CE, because it's low quantities of data. It's that ability to measure micromanagement. So if you look at the revolution of drones, so that ability to have an interaction where four separate units can all talk to each other via a single computer, and that can then in real time stabilize it. That's a very recent thing. If you look at the football cameras that you get, you know, the big cameras on the wires at football games, where they follow the Sky players cam. Around, the Skycam, that kind of stuff. That ability to control four motors in real time that are 100 meters apart each is phenomenal. And that's where the processing power has come from. It's not the iPad that's done that. Yes, they're being used in pro situations. Yes, the iPad is the user interface, but it's not the grunt of that device that's allowing that to happen. It's the grunt of the processors that are controlling the motors. You see what I'm saying?
No, I completely agree. But it's just the thing that I took away from his thing, which is a big conversation every time it comes up about who is pro and who is not pro. And we have a tendency to put those parentheses around basically AV. And there's way more to pro level stuff than AV.
Pro is when the CPU is being taxed, properly taxed.
But not necessarily. Because what if the guy's just a writer? What if somebody's hammering out 4 books a year and, you know, these books are like, you know, just killer books and they're making 3 times the much money as anybody that shot any video this year? Does that person not count as a pro? That was his point.
Yeah, but you could do that on an HP Giordano if it's still working with an external keyboard.
Sure. So in that case, that Giordano could still be a pro machine.
Yeah, but then you're making it fit, Jeff.
But that's okay, because the technology we use and the way we use it defines what that is for us. So in that sense, because I use an iPad Pro to write extensively and to write professionally, I consider my iPad Pro very much a pro machine. Now, if I was trying to do a podcast recording where I'm bringing in multiple lines and doing real-time editing and stuff, iPad Pro is not going to hold up for that. And exactly. and in that situation, that's not a pro device. So I think the pro thing, in generally speaking, is subjective, because depending on what you're doing, you can use a machine in a pro situation. It's based on what you're doing with it.
You can use it for a profession, but it doesn't mean it replaces all professions, and it doesn't mean it replaces all computers. Because
I don't think that's what they meant. I think we have taken the term out of context, is what I'm saying. So here's a prime example. Take tech out of it altogether. Just take tech out of it. You go to a home store, right? For the people who just bought a house and they need a gift, you see this block of knives at the home store, and everyone gets this block of knives because if you get this box of knives, you're going to be a great cook. You go into a chef's little thing and they roll it out, they have 3, maybe 4 knives, not that block 11 knives deep with a bunch of crap they don't need. Yeah. Who's the professional? The chef. He picked the right tools for the right job. And so I think what happened by Apple labeling that, and we paralleled it to what we labeled for machines, they put themselves in a puka. Oh, sorry, hole. I always do that on this show. But that word has put a moniker over something that the device is or is not, depending on who's wielding it.
I think you've got to, with the iPad Pro, the hardware is so advanced and it's such a capable machine. The only part that's been limiting it is iOS 12. With the launch of iOS 13 in the spring, so the rumors say that they held back a load of features, and I'm not entirely sure why, from iOS 12 to put them into iOS 13. I think, Jeff, you were saying about at the moment we've only got sort of a single line of audio. So, but they're talking about 2, maybe 3 lines of audio in and out from the iPad Pro. Things like you can sort of split the screen and so forth, and proper multitasking, which has not been available. So the hardware is there, isn't it? Faster than whatever 97%, I think, of the world's computers and PCs and stuff like that.
But computing power is not the be all and end all. It's user interface as well as.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
The lack of mouse is what's killing it more than the lack of multiple streams of audio. I think if it had a mouse and storage in and out where I can stick a hard drive, people would shut up. But it doesn't. For whatever reason, Apple put it there. But that doesn't mean that we won't get the audio thing fixed by NAB. Apple doesn't normally fix that. They let the audio companies fix it.
I was going to say, don't forget now that you've got USB-C over Lightning, you've got a massive opportunity for third-party interface if that's opened up.
True.
Yeah. I think that's coming. I think NAB will suss some of that out. But the mouse thing, I still get. I don't agree with it, but I get it. I get where most people come from that, because your brain can't context switch very fast from touching to scrubbing. But the storage thing, I definitely, even though I'm completely cloud, I can see where that bothers people. It's like literally right here on my computer. I just want to put it in super fast. I don't want to send it up and down, and you don't have high speed internet. I get that, you know, but I just think the conversation gets really, really muddy because it's so subjective. It's red wine, white wine, bullet versus Knob Creek kind of crap. Like, it's none of it. Do your job. If it does what you want it to do, shut the hell up and stop making everybody else seem like they spent $1,600 for no reason.
Go ahead, Steve. Sorry, man.
Oh, I was going to say, you know, perhaps this entire thing is just a really incredibly clever advertising campaign from Apple, you know, where they kind of bring out the fact that this is, it's a pro tool. It is a computer. It is a pro tool. And now for the last 3-4 weeks, that's all anybody has talked about, which is giving it tons of free coverage on just about every podcast
and you and, out there. And you and Rennie Ritchie, you lot and Rennie Ritchie are all a bunch of fanboys that are making it work for them. Yes,
yeah, but there's nothing wrong with being a fanboy. I love Manchester more than I love Apple, and they suck right now. There's nothing wrong with being a fanboy. That diss is the dumbest diss since you're a man.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh,
you know.
Oh,
I hate that.
Throw down.
That's the. This is stupid. Like that's what girls say when they run out of stuff to say.
No, you're
a just a man.
No, no, no. You're just trying to justify. You know, Apple goes, oh, it's this. It's like the no one wants to watch video on an iPhone. And then everyone goes, yeah, I totally agree. Steve Jobs was absolutely right. And then a few minutes later, you're going, I really wish I could watch video on it. And everyone forgets the fact that they all agreed with Steve to start with. Because Steve said, and then suddenly Steve's going, everybody wants to watch video on the iPhone. Clearly, it's brilliant. It's awesome. And everyone goes, oh, yeah, and they point to an article that some fanboy wrote who was in with Steve earlier on saying that Steve says, so we don't want it, and going, you're a moron because Steve said we do want it now.
You know what? Everybody skips when they use that thing. I agree. I still don't watch videos on my iPhone.
Oh, that's not the point I'm talking about.
But you know what's missing from that conversation? No one ever talks about when Steve reversed that decision or when the community reversed that decision, the screen got 10x better. No one talks about that. The screen got 10x better when we finally decided that it's okay to watch a video on an iPhone.
It would have got 10 times better anyway because of the sort of natural progression of technology and mobile phones.
Yeah, we know that. But I'm just saying that story sounded really, really good if you forget the fact that the screen got better. If that story changed with the same exact screen, okay, that might be a tad bit
moving
ignorant.
Moving on.
Where's Adam? I need Adam.
Wes has put in the chat room, Apple Watch 3 for wife. That sounds like a great deal you got there, mate.
Oh.
I didn't mean Wi-Fi.
If I could sell my wife for an Apple Watch 3, I'd be in.
Or sell your Apple Watch 3.
Would you do it?
Wife? Would I really do it?
Yeah.
You've met Sharon. Don't be stupid.
It depends on is it the LTE model or not.
And I know that Wes is watching on Flash because he's just typed LOL. Everyone else HTML5 still hasn't got that one.
I'm sure Sharon would ensure that there was 2 more balls on the Christmas tree this year.
Ah, yes, absolutely.
What do you guys call them? Baubles?
Baubles. Yeah, we do say baubles, but not much. We say, anyway, I don't know. Apple releases 5 reasons that the iPad Pro can be your next computer, just following on from your statements there. 1, it's more powerful than most computers. 2, it's versatile, it's a scanner. Camera, editing suite, notepad, cinema, music, studio, book, and computer. I'll go with the last lot. It goes anywhere thanks to LTE, if you've got a SIM card installed, of course.
And happen to have service in your area.
Absolutely. Good point.
Mm-hmm. And you have an LTE model.
It's as easy as this, with a focus on gestures. It's even better when you use the Apple Pencil, which is your new mouse. There we go. And it only costs $799 for a 64-gig 11-inch iPad Pro. You'll need to sell your wife if you want to buy a more expensive one, however.
Should have sold you one, then.
They sorted me out, yeah.
All right, so my question is,
go on.
Are ads like this targeting people that have, say, a really old computer, underpowered computer, and Apple is looking at a way to draw them into the Apple fold with a product that can look very enticing in those situations? Because I'm doubting that this is a message that's going to resonate really well with the people that are using, say, a MacBook Pro Retina display from 2015 on, they're not going to look at this and say, oh yeah, this actually will be a full-on replacement for my computer.
Could be. Yeah, I think, do you think there's a lot of teeterers then in that kind of use case that are kind of like, do you know what, I reckon I probably could get by?
Yeah, well, let's say you've been using a Chromebook for a few years, and it just feels too constrained, but you like that kind of smaller format, and you're thinking, yeah, well, maybe the iPad Pro is the right option for me.
Yeah,
especially coming from a Chromebook or some kind of computer like that. But I just think it's depending on where you started in your computer life is where it replaces or doesn't replace. If you started in your computer like most of us did a long time ago, the conversation does require a little massaging and a little changing perspective. But if you started, if you're started with, say, like, you know, like Emma, you know, her first device was an iPad, and then it became a Chromebook, and then now it's going to be an old iPad Pro. Yeah, like, you're good. And not even somebody as young as her, even people in their millennial, you know, in their 20s, who started, you know, with, you know, black plastic MacBook or white plastic MacBook, they will feel this is just the same, if not faster, you know. But again, I guess if you've ever owned a Mac Pro or you ever owned a MacBook Pro, yeah, I can see where the conversation goes and why it doesn't fit what everybody wants it to fit. So it's just one of those things. Like, you know, kids don't know what real audio sounds like. Kids have no idea what great live shows sound like because they grew up on MP3s and compressed audio.
Yeah, I'll make my son listen to FLAC just out of principle.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Can I say something about that? Just as only as a quick tip, my little lad, he wants a MacBook Air, and I don't know what I can afford one for Christmas. And so I've been looking at other alternatives. And if you're new to Apple and interested, I really would recommend the white plastic MacBook. It's incredibly exceptional value. You can get one for about 160, I think, something like that on eBay. So it's really worth looking at.
Okay. Wes has just said his wife's just walked into the office and he's now in trouble. Don't worry, mate. She wasn't watching this shit. A Magic Man has put in or £2,600 fully kitted out. And I don't know whether he's referring to the iPad or whether he's referring to Wes' wife. So,
yo, that is a funny thing about everybody who went on about how expensive the iPad it went to the fully kitted out version. The fully kitted out version, they're probably not going to buy for themselves anyway. But because the ammunition is there, it's easy to run with it. Like, you guys talked me out of buying a 512. And I could have afforded it, but it wouldn't have done me any better than what I need for what I'm using it for.
Not with iPhone.
So I almost suckered myself into buying a 512. And knowing good and well, had I gone into the store to buy the 512, I would have sat there and go, I wonder if I should get to 1 terabyte. But luckily, because I talked to you guys first, you guys was like, stick to the 256. That's what I bought. I didn't let them talk me out of it.
Yeah, no. It's easy to spend money on the shiny, but I've got to say, the iPad for me, in the way that I use my iPad Pro, I reckon Apple are going to knock me out of the market before I'm out of the market for using that device. They're going to obsolete it before I get to the end of its use case for what I use.
And I wish everybody would say what you just said, because that's the right answer.
My value proposition
right now, that what I have is perfect. I don't need a new one. Not Apple screwing over the planet because they made a new one. The one I have works for me. That's the conversation.
Steady on.
Nobody in this business making money on links says what you just said. That's the smartest thing I've heard any tech person say in the last 2 weeks.
Thanks, man. Love you too. Even though you called me stupid earlier, but
not you, damn it, shut up.
Well, I said a statement that you said was stupid, so that means by default I must be the stupid person making the statement. But anyway, I'll hold on to it. I'll serve that dish cold another day. So my iPad, the problem I've got with it is that I don't use it for anything taxing because I don't like using it for anything taxing. I keep it for simple stuff like watching Sky Sports and that kind of stuff. But Apple is also guilty of obsoleting devices that should not be obsoleting them. Yeah. I've said that wrong, but okay. Like the watch and the pencil. The watch and the pencil, what they've done this year with that is abhorrent. And there's no way you can dress that up as being anything other than abhorrent because it isn't. And it's not good for the planet and it's not good for the devices and it's not good for the customer. But the rest I'll go along with. I've upgraded unnecessarily on my phone as far as the tech goes. My 7 would have been just fine for what I currently do if I'd have bothered to keep it. Although I do love my 10S Max. So there we go. Brilliant. Good Friday. It's Thanksgiving tomorrow. Merry Thanksgiving to all the Thanksgiving people in the US for a good harvest and all that kind of stuff. But then Black Friday starts. And Black Friday this week for Apple is now the Black Friday weekend. Friday will last 4 days, apparently.
You'll get Cyber Monday.
Yeah, and then you get $2.50 off an iPad. Maybe $5 off a MacBook Pro. And I hear the Mac Pro is being discounted by $7.50.
Wow.
Mm.
I'm going to buy one.
I can hardly contain myself.
Yeah, no, I don't expect really massive deals on that.
Have we actually seen anything yet about what the deals are?
No, and I don't really care because I'm not going to buy anything and they won't be very good anyway. They won't be
great. My assumption is it's going to be gift cards that you get when you buy a product, not an actual discount on the product.
Yeah, not real money.
Yeah.
I've got to say, my best Black Friday deal I already have. I took it yesterday and it was Adobe's Black Friday deal, which was instead of paying £79 for the full creative suite, you can pay £30 for the next 12 months.
That's a nice deal.
Mate, that's what's that?
60, that's a really 60, nice deal.
65% off.
But wow. Does that work for people that already have an account?
Yeah, because I've already got an account. And I rang up today and they said, hang on. They sent me, I upgraded, and then this morning they sent me an email. So, you need to complete your purchase. I'm like, what do you mean I need to complete my purchase? So I went onto the online tech support help, Nitesh, who helped me. Thank you very much. They said, no, it's okay. It's because you've got an existing deal run. Do you want me to cancel the existing deal and then put you on the new deal? I said, yes, please. Bang, done. That's it. I didn't need to get my credit card over again or anything. The Adobe deal's great. And also QuadLock, if you're into QuadLock stuff, they've got 60% off some of their stuff. And I did post the offer code earlier on that I got as a loyal customer. I'm going to have to post this today. Otherwise, this is a waste of time. I'll post this the day after this expires and just piss everyone off.
Well, that's what they get for not being here live.
That's called spite, Ewan.
Talking about the Black Friday Apple deals, I'm preparing a bit of an Apple podcast, a British Mac, and I can give you some facts and figures if you want them.
Yeah, that'll be a first for British Mac. Go on.
It's not too bad, is it? So an iPad 9.7, 32 gig, you can save £40. An iPad Pro 10.5, 64 gig, this is on Amazon, you can save £50. An iPad Pro, it's all iPads, isn't it, at the moment? Anyway, 12.9. You can save another £50. £50 seems to be the popular number. And an iPad Mini 4, 128 gig from AO, down from 394, and it was 419. So that's not such a massive saving. So we're talking about £30.
Excellent. Okay. Not massive prices though, are they?
No, I think pretty much along the range, it's about £50 saving. But £50 is £50, isn't it?
Yeah, it's better than my pocket than theirs. That's fair enough. Good point. I can't find the offer code anyway. It began with a Q, but that's it. I can't remember anymore.
Just put Q in, see what happens.
Just put Q in and see if they give it you anyway. Q for quad lock. hang on. This podcast and all the others is brought to you by TSO Host. We are entirely dependent upon them for our server-side stuff and also the bandwidth for broadcasting this live, and so also the bandwidth for you being able to download it. A lot of people last week tweeted out about thank you to TSO Host for supporting At British Tech. Please do that again. It is essential to us that you do that. They only want brand recognition. If you can give them the brand recognition, then we will continue to be supported by them. So please get out there. Can someone sit still? Whoever's making the noise. If you can, please then, and you want to buy hosting services. Greeny, shut up.
It's not me.
Isn't it? Oh, okay.
It's only you.
So if I'm
sitting here quiet as a kitten,
all right,
and doing nothing.
Someone's clattering around in the background. I've forgotten what I was going to bloody say now. Oh, yeah, so if you do want hosting services, then you can get 20% off your basket with the offer code BTN20. So if you type in BTN20 when you check out, 20% off your basket. Crikey Trousers has just given me the quad lock code. It is QLBF18. So that's Quebec Lima Bravo Foxtrot 18. There we go. I'll try and put that out on Twitter as well, so you can all get it. That's my loyalty bonus, because I'm a loyal chap. Thanks also to Wirecast and to Telestream, who give us this fantastic piece of software, which now I've got my little Stream Deck I am flying with. Absolutely adore it. It runs brilliantly, and I'm very, very happy. It's going superbly. So support them again. Give them brand recognition if you can as well, at Telestream. And don't forget they do ScreenFlow, which now is just an unbelievable piece of software. It's way beyond screen capture like it used to be. It's Final Cut, effectively.
Yeah.
And my Hoya glasses. My Hoya glasses are lovely. If you want anything with Hoya, go to podcast@hoya.co.uk, and Mark Culshaw would roll out the red carpet treatment for you. And you're thinking, oh, that's okay, but I'm in Australia or I'm in the US. It's a global company, and Mark is connected. So if you are in those areas, then go for it. Go out and get it done. And if you want to go, if you're in Denver, go and see Thomas Gosling and say you and said hello. Because Thomas, I filmed Thomas at a Hoya event in the UK a couple of months back. Go and have an appointment. Go for coffee with him, Jeff, and write a fresh brewed tales about it.
That sounds awesome.
Ring him up and say, Ewan says I should give you a call, Thomas.
There you go. And then he'll hang up and I'll be like, hey, what the?
It's a small world, mate. It is a small yeah. world. The degrees of separation between you and Thomas Gosling is now only two. There you go. One.
That three. Is pretty awesome.
Yeah, it is. It is. Time for the cool thing. Start us off. Doctress.
Alrighty. So pretty sure I picked this a while ago, but there has been some major updates, so I'm going to pick it again. The app in question is for iOS, but it also works on your Mac. It works on your iPad, whether it's Pro or not. And it's the Day One Journey app. I can't rave enough about what they've been able to do with the latest iOS update. You can literally put things in your journal now completely using your voice, and it's text to, or sort of speech to text transition or transcription is relatively flawless. And what's really cool is at first they were using an external service, but it was taking up a little bit of power and cost, so you only had 1 minute. Now they've expanded it to 5 with the latest update. And you literally hit on it and it sends it off. It uses a combination of two servers, theirs and Apple's. They sort of suss out the problems. They send it back. They've added great things like dark mode, automatic. If you want to log, you know, places that you've gone through the day, you can save that. So the Slogger integration, which some guy Brett wrote for this a long time ago, they kind of stole it and fixed it all the way up. So it's like basically
stole it and fixed it. Did you hear that, Terpstra?
He probably helped him.
Oh, right. Okay. They broke it first. Don't forget.
True that. But now it's in there and it does everything that Brett's original play around script did, which was badass, which is how I got stuck on it a long time ago. But one of the coolest features now also is on the watch. and this is where it probably works the best, is I just hit the little button right here on my complication, just say something I need to remember, because as the more I get old and the more Hawaii's favorite vegetable I smoke, I start forgetting. So I can just hit this thing, talk to it, and it stores it. It's instantly lands in my phone and my iPad and my computer. And like, you can use this thing from everything from school to mental health or self-help or notes, research, logging your activities. I use it for testing out my recipes. Like, it's pretty incredible what they've done with Day One app, especially the premium version. Yeah. The app itself is free. The premium version is like $25 a year, and there'll probably be a Black Friday sale tomorrow. But Day One has grown up into a very, very powerful tool. Like, it's quite amazing.
You mentioned dark mode there. Who else is struggling with dark mode? Because I had to turn it off. I can't stand it.
Mm-hmm. I personally, it works better for me. But a lot of people don't like it.
Damn, I hate it. I absolutely hate it. Cool pick, mate. Thank you very much. Jeffrey, what do you have for us, mate?
Hold on. I'll drop you a link right here. So yeah. I've kind of got this thing for the Kano kits. You know, they do the Raspberry Pi computers.
Yeah. And
I just recently picked up a new thing that I haven't even built yet, but it's really cool. And it's this. It lets you build a light board, LED light board, that you can program from your Mac or Windows PC. And I haven't even taken it out of the package yet. So, you know, it's got the light board, it's got a case that everything goes in, and you can see it has little controls. So it comes loaded with a handful of little games you can play on it. So you don't even have to do any programming. But if you install the coding app on your computer, then you can write your own games for it, and you can program it to do specific light patterns. And I just pulled the actual board out of the box, and so it has a spot where it comes with a rechargeable battery. And let's see. So little control. These are actually joystick controls on the front of it for playing whatever games you want to play. Mm. And I got to play with one of these at CES a while ago, and it's just really, really cool. And so they cost, I forgot, they're on sale right now because it's $49.
Black Friday.
So regularly $79, right now it's $49.
That's $30 off now. That's a reduction, Will. That's a reduction. Not your $10 off a Mac Pro or your $7.50 off a MacBook Pro.
Hold on. Some of mine were like £50, weren't they?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. €50. $50. We've got a Kano, and they are simplistic, aren't they? They're very good, I have to say.
Yeah. Every Kano product I have is... It's built well. It's great that you get to build it and learn, and that they're so easy to code as well.
Yeah, cool.
Good. They're the Heathkit of the 21st century.
Yep.
Yeah. That's a great analogy.
Excellent. Steve, what have you got for us?
I have, and let me send that right here. This is something that just came out on Kickstarter today called OPSO, O-P-S-O, and it is a portable Apple Watch charger. There's a lightning port on it, so you charge this when you need to get the battery up there. It's, I think, a 2,100 milliamp hour battery, and you take this thing along with you. If your Apple Watch happens to crap out, you just put it on here, and you press this button to turn on the unit, and it's now charging. It's a great little charger. It'd be perfect for weekend trips. You don't have to bring yet another cable with you. It's entirely self-contained. Right now, it just went live on Kickstarter. I think you can get the cloth-covered version. This is the leather one. But the cloth-covered version is $39, which is only $10 more than buying one of Apple's charging pucks. So looks like it's going to be probably a pretty successful and definitely a very useful campaign. I really like this little unit. It's and I think it's going to do me well on a lot of trips.
$84 gets you two of the power banks. As well.
What press list are you on that you already have one?
I just have friends in China.
Friends in China.
Oh, that's a knockoff one, got you. Okay. They're available on
Bang. Knockoff of a knockoff, yeah.
They're on Babel on Banggood and Alibaba already.
Yeah. Probably.
Bad luck, whoever they was making that. Sorry. I'm being facetious, but I'm probably not a million miles off.
Well, that's like the guys who came up with, remember the fidget cube?
Oh, yeah.
The original developers of the first fidget cube were two guys with the last name, two brothers, but the last name of McLaughlin here in Denver. And they came out with that, and it was like almost immediately, I think every factory in China was cranking these things out. And they were selling it for a fraction of what these guys were. But they made so much money off of that it was pretty much ridiculous. They've got some new products that are coming out that are really going to be kind of fun. And one of these days, I'll actually probably bring one of those on to the show.
Cool. Brett, what do you have for us?
Okay. So I don't know if these probably won't apply to everyone, but it is snowing outside right now. And that means it's time for touchscreen gloves. And I finally found a pair, the Moshi Digits. It's the first pair of touchscreen gloves I've had where it actually works. Like I can comfortably use my phone without missing, without having to like shift my finger around to get the capacitive threads to pick up the touch.
Oh, right.
They fit very snugly. They have the conductive thread through all of the fingers, and it works beautifully.
But are they warm?
They're quite warm. They are knit, which means if you are in like Minnesota January weather and there's a sharp wind at about 40 below, your hands will get cold and you'll want a windproof shell over them. But for what most of you will experience for winter, they might actually be all you need.
There's two Colorado guys sitting right there.
Yeah, I'm already looking these up.
Yeah,
I can't use them, but right now, Greeny can use them to put his finger in his bum.
Is it exciting you? Have you got that in your mind?
No, Greeny. Yeah. Moving on, dude. Moving on. £24.99 as well, so not horrifically expensive.
No, and you want to make sure you get the right size. They come in a small/medium and then a large/XL.
Yeah.
You want to get the right size because the reason they work so well is they fit snugly. So if your hands are on the smaller side, make sure you get the smaller size.
So you're better off slightly under purchasing.
Right. There's a little size chart
on
the page I sent.
Extra large in dark gray and small to medium in light gray in the UK store. So,
yeah.
Pretty gangster.
Free shipping if you order two pairs. Whoop. Then you can have one in the wash, Greeny.
Yes, I suppose so. I've not put one of those
in. No, don't worry. You can take them in the shower with you. No, moving on. Mr. Green, do you have a cool thing for us? And please make sure that it's not something that we've already discussed, if you know what I mean.
Yes, no, of course. I've got two things, but I can't get the second one to work. But I'll go with the first one anyway.
Okay.
This is purely a UK thing. And so in my wallet, I'm very keen to use store cards. Tesco or Co-op and all the other myriad of store cards you you can have. And when you get to the checkout, you often forget your store card. You maybe lend it to your partner and you haven't got it. And this particular app is called Stocard, S-T-O-C-A-R-D, Stocard. And basically, you take all of the store cards out of your wallet and you turn them over so you can see the barcode thing, and you just scan them. And it's absolutely free. And so when you get to the checkout at, say, Co-op or Sainsbury's or wherever, you just you take out your phone and use that, and you can scan your card. Totally free. And
really?
Yep. Stocard. Have a look at it. It's amazing.
S-T-O-C-A-R-D.
Yep.
I think I have that.
Oh, it's loyalty cards. Got you. I was sitting thinking, it's credit cards.
Oh, no.
Oh, loyalty cards. No, brilliant. No, it's good.
It's awesome.
I have that app.
Could you put, so like, because Sharon and I have got separate Nectar cards. Could I... Could we have the same Nectar card on each of our phones?
I don't know. I would probably.
Yeah. But you show the barcode, don't you? It's not NFC enabled, this thing, is it?
No, you have to show the barcode.
Yeah. Okay.
But with a combination of Apple Wallet and the Stocard, the size of your wallet will be a lot thinner.
This looks better than the app I've been using.
It looks brilliant.
Which is CardStar.
Which is not normal for Greenies picks.
Yeah, bugger off. Go on.
This is great.
No, I'm trying to be...
I've been using this for a little over a year and a half now, and it's pretty incredible because the CVS card is stupid. It's a little small thing, like this big, and it just always falls out. And the other one is having an electric car. You charge your car by scanning the code to release the handle so you can charge your car, and they interfere with each other. So I've been using this as a way of unlocking the portable chargers.
Yeah. Cool. These Belly, I don't know. You guys get Belly cards?
I have Belly.
Small businesses all use the same like card, and the cards are like 1 inch by 2 inches. Can never keep track of this thing. And I refuse to put it on my keychain. That's weird. But yeah, that would be handy.
It's pretty cool.
The Belly card is exactly like the CVS one, Brett.
Yeah, okay.
It's this thing.
I don't say it and mean it an awful lot, but excellent pick, Greeny. Well done.
I've got a second one.
Oh, go on then. You couldn't go out on a high, could you? No.
I think it's pretty good. So if you've got to sort of a regular iOS on your iPhone, you know, when it's a real struggle to, you look at a message that you've written or you want to reply to, and it's difficult to select the particular area of the text that you want to, you want to either copy or edit or whatever. If you hold down the space key,
is bar
for about, sorry, the space bar, and keep it held down for 2 or 3 seconds. It then turns your cursor, which you can sort of navigate the text.
It becomes a trackpad.
Yeah, it's brilliant. It becomes like as you say, it's like a mouse on your iPad, and it's really easy to select stuff. So that's a cunning tip rather than a pick.
Excellent. Well,
this tip has like taken traction in the last couple of days. I've seen it all over Twitter. Yes. How did people not?
I've seen it all over the internet too. Like old people just figured it out.
Yeah, pretty much.
How dare you?
I'm not picking on you. Brett's like, right.
It's called me stupid.
Twitter and Facebook, and I can show you a post from yesterday, and somebody found it. I was like, you know, this is about 5 years old, right? And then they're like, no, I didn't know. I was like, it literally has been there forever. So it's amazing that how many people don't know what Apple pointed out on stage when they did the keynote like 5 years ago.
He's had a pop at me. He's had a pop at Brett. And now he's had a pop at Greeny. Jeez.
I'm not popping. Well, I'm just saying it's funny that this thing is catching traction now. I don't know why or where it came from.
My cool thing. Recommended by Chris Campion on the Big Show a few weeks back, and utterly destroying my time away from other things is The Room from Fireproof Games. It's 99p now for the first one. This was Game of the Year in 2012, so I'm well late to it. I have got the most. It is the most frustrating, rewarding, annoying, fulfilling, brilliant crap. I love it. I'm addicted to it, and I want to throw my phone across the room some days, and other days I don't. But it's great. It's a really good puzzle game with little devices that you got to open. You got to suss out how to get them to work. And it's just brilliant. I really love it. And I know there's another three versions of this, isn't it? I've got to get through yet.
I was going to ask, which version are you recommending?
Oh, mate, I am squarely on one.
Okay. So, I've never played it, so I'm going to start at one.
Yeah. No, The Room, Fireproof Games. It's 99 pence, so that's just under a dollar, I guess. You get like the first level's free, and then you have to buy the 99 cents to get going with it. And it's brilliant. I absolutely adore it. It's a really good game, but it is unnervingly frustrating at times.
Is there a difference between The Room and The Room Pocket?
Yeah. You want The Room from Fireproof Games.
That's not listed here. I have The Room Pocket, The Room 2, and The Room 3.
Oh, right. So The Room Pocket might be the free one with the 99 pence upgrade when you
yeah,
play through it. Yeah, that's it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
But that will ruin your life.
Perfect. It's a really awesome game.
You get nothing done.
No, you won't. It's just, it's...
Sometimes I prefer to get nothing done. People say nothing is impossible, but I do it every day.
Yeah, but this is not exactly like meditation, mate. This is the antithesis of meditation.
I'm cool with it.
Shouldn't there be room in your life?
Very good, mate.
I know. Good. It's good, isn't it?
Yeah, it's excellent, mate. Really impressed. Where can we get a hold of you, Duck?
Tomorrow, somewhere, stuff in my face with grilled meats and alcohol. Happy yes. Thanksgiving for those of you who support the pilgrimage. Other than that, you can find me all over the internet at DOCROCK and on solid.fm.
Excellent, mate. Thank you very much. Jeffrey, where would you be?
You can find me over at Smile, so that's smilesoftware.com or textexpander.com. And I'm on Twitter and Instagram, jgamut, both places.
Excellent, mate. Steve, where will you be?
You can find me most of the time over at appleworld.today. That's Apple World Today website. And I'm also over at OWC's website at blog.maxsales.com.
Excellent, mate. Thank you very much. Brett, where will you be?
I'm at brettterpstra.com. And TTSCOFF, TT Scoff, on every social service imaginable.
Excellent, mate. And Greeny, last but by no means least, what are you doing these days?
Well.
Another podcast.
Well, that's going to be coming out tomorrow. So it's all researched and done. And that is BritishMac.com, but which is good. Can I do a shameless plug?
Yeah, of course.
So I've been over the last sort of month since we discussed it. You know, when you go out and people seem obsessed by their smartphone and you want to leave them at home, and they call them companion phones. So you can find me. I do a blog over there at companionphone.com, which is unashamedly full of Amazon adverts. See if I can make some money from it. But I sort of update it on a daily basis. So there we go.
Good, man.
So BritishMac.com and companionphone.com.
Stick a link in the chat room and we're away. Brett's put his link in for his gloves. Oh. My name's Ewan Rankin. You can get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. You can follow the network at British Tech. Don't forget the daily news show is done by Kyle every morning. And thanks to the people who donate to the Patreon or the subscriptions channel for us. Because without them, then we wouldn't be able to pay Carl to do the show, and the daily show would go away. So especially thank you to them. We're back on Tuesday next week for the live show, if we can get enough people together. But we are going back the following week to the normal Friday. Big Show's going to move to Wednesdays from now on, though, for a little while, just because I've got a commitment on Thursdays I've got to go to. Have a great weekend. Enjoy your Thanksgiving, America, and we'll see you again soon. Thanks for listening.